If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
You are listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast, where food and sports clash at the goal line. Here are your hosts, Spencer and Michael.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the 23 Personnel Podcast. This is your Oklahoma State instant reaction. Texas Tech loses 50-44. I'm your host, Spencer, joined by Michael.
Hello, everybody. I'm anxious to get through this because I have the latest episode of The Mandalorian to watch. And so I've seen some semi-spoilers on Twitter, but I think it's a pretty big one. So I've got some Mandalorian watching to do. How's everybody holding up after the last disappointing trip to Stillwater?
Well, Michael, let's make this easy. You lost. You made some dumb plays. You had dumb decisions from the coach. You probably could have won this game. It's not a surprise that you lost. You, like I said, were in a position like, well, I don't know if you're in a position to win the game. You took the lead in the second half. You got down by 3 touchdowns and got it within a touchdown and ended up losing. So there, how's that?
Yeah, that about sums it up. I mean, it felt like a slog. It was just a really...
It did.
The first half went like I thought it would, honestly. I even thought they scored more in the first half than I thought, especially once I saw that Hubbard was going to be out. Chuba Hubbard, not Ray Wiley. But I wanted to just make sure that we were watching the same game, because the third quarter was just an explosive stretch of insanity. And Tech was, of course, a catalyst of that with either coaching decisions or just bad player decisions. But man, this was such a weird feeling game. The 11 a.m. kickoffs, I had not really missed those. It's kind of nice just to have it done and out of the way for the rest of your day. But it just does feel sluggish, even from however many hundred something miles away we are down here in Lubbock, to turn on the TV at 11 and, you know, the coffee's still warm in the pot and you're just like, oh, okay, all right, let's watch some football now. Yeah. Hope everyone else is awake and ready with, you know, 10,000 people in the stands, maybe.
Your third quarter was your best quarter of the game, but it's also where you had the largest swing of momentum in what felt like 30 seconds. You took the lead 24-21. Matt Wells said he had predetermined he was going to kick an onside kick. Hell or high water, I'm kicking an onside kick. And he did. And guess what? It went poorly, and he blamed the kids. The onside kick was returned for a touchdown. That hadn't happened since Tuberville, it feels like. But as bad as it could happen, they were, the recovery team was getting downfield, trying to get ahead of the ball, so allowed to go 10 yards. Oklahoma State's like, we don't have to wait for it to go 10 yards and touch it. Picked it up, ran it untouched for whatever, 40 yards for a touchdown. Texas Tech comes back on the field, throws a pick six. So you go from taking the lead to being down by 10 like that. And it started with that onside kick. Just another in the long list of things where you're like, why did you do that? That makes no sense. You attempted a field goal on second down. Why did you do that? You decided to run the clock against a team and said, we weren't going to get a first down. Why did you do that?
Yeah. You're talking about in Ames in the first half, the end of the first half. Yeah.
Or your running back scores through and is going to score and he takes a knee. It's like, no, you needed a score. Why did you do that against Baylor?
And all of these decisions are predetermined.
Yes.
I am completely losing faith in his ability to make a decision on the fly. Take a look at what the defense is giving, what the offense is giving. Maybe you can go back on what you said you were going to do. I don't think anyone would have said, you know what, coach, that's fine. That's fine if we don't run the onside kick here with 7 minutes left in the third freaking quarter.
In a 3-point game.
Ahead in a game that Tech's actually somehow moving the ball against a pretty solid defense.
And your defense was doing well leading up to that point.
Aside for even the rushing defense was suspect up to that point, but it just got worse. I don't get it. I don't get the inability to change your mind and feel like does he think that changing his mind makes him look wishy-washy? I mean, I don't think anyone would have questioned.
Nobody would have known. Only his staff would have known that they'd wanted to onside it.
I still think we would be talking about this onside if Tech had won the game, just because it was a heck of a risk at that point and didn't make a lot of sense.
The second and third onside attempts made sense in the situation of the game. The second one you made a pretty decent effort at and almost got it. The third one, it wasn't executed. I mean, you want to blame a player for anything, like, the ball has to go 10 yards and it went like 3.
Yeah. I mean, up to that point, and it's not like Tech had just overcome this huge scoring drought. Up until that point, the most they were down was by 7. They were down by a touchdown a couple of times until that took place.
It was a close game.
They were down 21-0 and then all of a sudden scored 24 and answered. And we're like, let's just keep going. I mean, I can't come up with any reason. 7 minutes left in the fourth, possibly. I probably wouldn't have hated it as much then, but I absolutely hated it in the third quarter.
Even that feels like you've got so much time left. Unless you were down like 3 scores and you were kind of desperate, like, we need this now. You weren't desperate. You had just taken the lead.
Or even if you were down 3 scores and you had just scored and now you're only down 2 and you're like, all right, let's keep this going. I can see it. There are so many instances where I can see it, except that one where you decide during halftime that this is what you're going to do. And then after 8 minutes of the quarter have gone by, you're still thinking, well, I said I was going to do it then. And well, let's, by God, we're doing it. And it really blew up in your face. Epically.
The worst possible outcome for an onside kick. Like, it's not just that you didn't recover it. I mean, the chances of recovering an onside kick are astronomically low anyways. But you Tuberville'd it, and you gave up an onside kick for a touchdown. He did that, 2 or 3 times while he was here?
I can only think of one for sure that was...
One was against Baylor in the Cotton Bowl.
Against Baylor in the Cotton Bowl.
And one was against Iowa State up in Ames.
Oh, that's right.
So at least
if you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used, because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Two.
Yeah, my memory is not letting me remember that game.
Here's the thing. You've now done that 3 times in a decade. That's got to be a record. Like, being poor at recovering an onside kick is one thing. giving up three touchdowns on onside kicks has to be something. Like, you have to lead the country in that somehow. So on offense, you were frustratingly efficient. Like, you didn't feel like the offense was really working for stretches. You look down, you put up 44 points, 640 yards. You ran the ball for 260. You threw for almost 400. Like, the frustration I felt with the offense, looking at the numbers after the game, feels unwarranted.
Yeah, and they made a game of it. The offense came back, and one, they scored 44 points on the road. That's huge. Tech have they even gotten close to that this season?
44, I think, is the high mark for the season so far. No, except for Texas.
Right, and that was obviously at home. And but yeah, I mean, 44 points on the road, not even close to any of the other games Tech's played. Bowman really did well. He had that pick six, which my buddy Adam and I had been joking about this for a few weeks. Like, when is the pick six coming?
Well, and he's now got it two weeks in a row.
No, I know, but we were specific. It was going to be on a kind of like a screen pass kind of thing. Because technically it was just a slant. It was just a slant last week against Baylor.
Well, it was not a slant this week too?
I don't know. We'd have to go back. I haven't had the heart to watch that again.
Either way, that feeling, that discussion you and your friend were having about, like, when's it going to happen? Like, we were having that in the Slack chat. Like, yes, he is going to throw an interception.
Yes. Y'all were right on top of it the exact same time we were. And of course, me and Adam have been saying it for weeks. Him especially. He was the first one to call it a few weeks ago. Like, man, when is a pick six going to happen when Bowman floats one of these screen passes out there? It's just coming.
So in the Slack chat, we were talking about how, like, he done it a couple of times in a row. He rolled out to the right, stops, throws across the field to the left. And it had been successful up until then, but that's a low percentage play. It always has been. It's one of those things they always talk about from the broadcast. Like, you don't throw late. You don't throw across your body. You don't throw across the field. Like, and you did it three times in a row. And Oklahoma State was ready for it. On the play that they intercepted and returned for a touchdown, they were in zone. Bowman never looked off his receiver. That safety that jumped that route was like 15 yards away from the receiver, broke on the ball because Bowman never looked away. So we saw that coming. Keith said it would be a pick six a couple of minutes before it happened.
Yes,
like, we felt it coming.
It was right before. There were a few of us on the same wavelength. in different areas.
And you know what? Like, I don't want to be like, also, I'm pretty smart too, but what, like a score or two before the onside kick, I said, please don't onside the ball. Like, don't kick onside. Don't do it. And he didn't. It's like, okay, that just felt like a spot where Wells would have kicked an onside kick. And then he kicked an onside kick.
He faked the fake. He faked you out, man.
Yeah. So back to the offense. It was a day of what felt like extremes. There was a lot of short passes, swing passes, screens, and then there were big, big plays. On through the air, you had 10 passes of 15 or more yards for 266 yards. You had a 15-yard pass, 43, 24, 48. Anyways, a bunch of big throws. Then you had six rushing plays of more than 10 yards for 190 yards on the ground. So when you were good on the ground, you were dang good. Like, you weren't just like 10 yards here, 11 yards here. 59, 24, 10, 70, 12, and 15. That 59-yarder came on the fourth down.
One of two fourth down touchdowns on big chunk plays.
Yeah, I think the next Sir Roderick Thompson 24-yard touchdown was on third and seven. The 70-yard rush was Xavier Wright Xavier White, second and five. But yeah, like you were able to create the big play. You were susceptible to giving up the big play. You gave up five passing plays of 15 or more yards to Oklahoma State, the longest of which was 40 yards. And then you gave up 10 rushing plays of 10 yards or more for 190. So they broke more big running plays than you did, but you had the same number of yards, 190 each there. And then you more than doubled them up on big passing plays, which I thought you would.
We have not seen. I didn't.
Well, yeah, it's right. I didn't think Spencer Sanders was going to beat you through the air, and he didn't. I wouldn't say he's a very good quarterback. He's just been good enough. He's been hurt. He's been injured. So I didn't think that they were going to be able to really beat you that bad through the year. Like, they have one receiving threat deep.
It's a really effective threat. Gosh, he's good. And Fields had great position on him, at least on a couple of huge catches. And Wallace just manhandled it. It was impressive.
Yeah, there was one that I thought could have been called offensive pass interference. Either way, it was a big, big time reception for him, Wallace. There was one, and I don't know if it was Wallace or not, but it was deep in the back of the end zone, where Fields actually got his hand on the ball. He had his hand between Wallace's hands during the process of him catching the ball. That they went and reviewed it. It was like, that was a heck of a catch. Because he did it, like I said, Fields had touched the ball first, so it wasn't coming in on the expected plane or whatever you want to call it. He was able to catch the ball around Fields' hand and arm, which was between his. Anyways, and then when we saw this morning that Oklahoma State's top two running backs were not going to be available, it's like, all right, so I'm not really scared of Sanders because he's a one trick guy. I'm gonna throw it to Wallace. And then without Hubbard, I was like, LD Brown's still pretty good. Nope, he was out too. But you made their third string running back look like Chuba Hubbard. 36 carries, 235 yards, 3 touchdowns for 6.5 yards a carry.
Yeah, and allowing 317 rush yards total on the day. It felt very similar to years past of
vintage just, Texas Tech defense.
Yes, and the three leading tacklers were all defensive backs.
That's not good
for Tech. All three leading tacklers were defensive backs.
DeMarcus and Fields,
that's never a good sign.
Yeah, you're like DeMarcus Fields, who is making tackles on pass plays. Adam Beck, I think he was the safety that was coming in a whole lot more, and then Thomas Leggett. Krishan Merriweather is your fourth leading tackler, linebacker, and then Zach McPherson is a corner. Eric Monroe, the safety. Colin Schooler, linebacker. So your two linebackers are number 4 and 7 leading tackle. So five of your top 7 leading tacklers today, safeties and corners.
Yeah. I mean, it was a poor defensive showing today. It hasn't been lately. They were able to contain the passing attack. But as you mentioned, aside from Tylan Wallace, there wasn't really much of a passing attack to be had. And Spencer Sanders' accuracy is pretty iffy. So that wasn't a huge thing to see OSU be held to 222 passing yards. But to rush for over 300 with 235 of them coming from their third string running back, that is not a good look.
No.
That is just pitiful. And, you know, back to an offense that was surprisingly effective today, despite some spurts. You know, Tech's offense went 4 of 5 on fourth down. I think every time they went on fourth down, I was perfectly fine with it. And you know, Oklahoma State paid for it a couple of times, coming full blitz on a fourth down, and Thompson or White or whoever was patient enough to wait for it and just kind of basically skirt around it. But the telling thing to me that makes me feel for the offense today, because the offense has been so sketchy all year. They put up 44 points, Spencer, 0 for 0 in the red zone. That shows you how many chunk plays they had. They never ran a play within the 20 yards of the end zone.
And still scored 44 points.
This is not something we've seen all year, with the exception of against UT. And then the defense to just get completely blown out. I mean, you know, Eli Howard was out again this week. He could have made a big difference. There's no telling. I'm sure there were some other guys out as well. And is it McCann who's gone? Did McCann leave the team, or am I misremembering something?
I think there was something like that, yeah.
So, I mean, those two guys may have made a big difference today, but whether they were there or not, the team that was there was not able to slow down this running back at all.
Yeah, so looking through the stats, you held, I mean, you had some significant advantages in several big categories. Total yards, pass yards, fourth downs, average yards per play, average yards per completion, average yards per rush. You held a 30-second advantage of time of possession. It's not that big of a deal. You somehow evened up the game at 3 turnovers apiece. Oklahoma State was able to score 13 points off of it. You forced 4 fumbles. It felt like you sacked Spencer Sanders more than just once. Both teams had 3 tackles for loss, which I think we talked about a lot in the preview, that they were good. They're going to be pretty good at being disruptive. They had 3 tackles for loss. You had 3 tackles for loss. I think the big thing is you were heavily penalized. And I say heavily, 7 penalties this game doesn't feel like a lot in historical context. We look back to Cliff Kingsbury, where you were averaging 10, 11, 12, 13, whatever penalties per game. These were big penalties and big time.
Well, 6 of them were in the first half.
Yeah. You had a couple of, defensive holdings, pass interference. You had a holding or block in the back, whatever, on a kick return, which doesn't, the yardage isn't calculated right, because it wipes out like a 50-yard return. It, you know, puts you from being Oklahoma State 40 something to back to your own 10, which is, you know, 45-yard difference. To Oklahoma State's 3 penalties for 20 yards. They were better than you were on third down. You were only 4 of 16, so 1 of 4 where they were 12 of 20.
Yeah, that was another area that the defense just really did not hold up their end of the bargain today, allowing over 50% on third down. The 4 of 16 for Tech's offense is not great.
But that's what Oklahoma State average is allowing.
Yeah, and that looks, but 25%. That also looks pretty good when you consider that they made 4 out of 5 fourth down attempts. Mm-hmm. So it kind of counters that a little bit, but definitely not a great looking stat for the offense.
Yeah. Eric Ezukanma had himself a day, 7 receptions, 183 yards, 2 touchdowns. He was targeted 9 times, so he caught 7 passes on 9 targets. Miles Price had himself a pretty good day outside of the fumble. Obviously, your running backs, Sir Roger Thompson, 17 carries, 133 yards. Xavier White, 9 carries, 98 yards. Even Taj Brooks, 6 carries for 29 yards. That's almost 5 yards a carry. Xavier White was almost 11 yards a carry. Sir Roger Thompson was almost 8 yards a carry.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
As a team, you averaged 6.7 yards per carry. It's not something you see with Texas Tech. It's not something we thought we would see against Oklahoma State on the road. I mean, 38 carries for 255 yards and 3 touchdowns. You felt pretty good about that. You felt pretty good about your ability to hit some of the big plays, albeit, you know, frustrating at times. You just had that swing of momentum in that third quarter that you just didn't overcome.
As a comma, sorry, man, as a comma was a huge part of that. And I hate that it's taken this long. This is only his third game to have 7 receptions. And that equals his highest total all year. On average, he averages less than 5 receptions a game. His last two, he had 2 against Baylor. He had 3 against TCU. I hate that it's taken Keyshawn Carter going down with a season-ending injury for them to finally be like, let's try to get the ball to this guy. Let's be a little bit more proactive on getting it to him. And it really paid off today.
Yeah.
Hopefully they'll continue that.
I mean, I want to see the offense target the outside receivers and target them deep. Target them often.
Bowman was on it today.
He really was. And it just kind of feels like TJ Vasher is holding up somebody else from being productive in that spot. Jalen Polk played quite a bit. He had 3 catches for 15 yards on the outside. Trey Cleveland, 2 catches. Loic Fungi, 1 catch for 31 yards. And that touchdown there in the fourth quarter was fantastic. Very, very reminiscent of Eric Ward.
Yeah, big time.
So your outside receivers, like they were on it today outside of TJ Vasher, who had 1 catch for 14 yards. And it's a miracle it wasn't flagged for offensive pass interference because there were at least 2 picks on that play that freed him up for all of 14 yards. So I don't know, man. The offense, because that was frustrating, but was still super effective and efficient to put up 44 points, second highest all season. You did it on the road, did it against a defense that we didn't think was going to allow you to do that. That you've had success against Oklahoma State the two previous times you faced them, the two most recent times, I should say. You forced turnovers. You unfortunately turned the ball over yourself. But when you turned the ball over, it just felt like it was backbreaking. Obviously, the onside kick, the pick six, the fumble on the very first play after you intercepted them. It just, like, your turnovers came back at just the absolute wrong time.
Yeah, and to pile onto that, there were two TDs, you know, the two you mentioned. I would actually even throw in a third on that. I think it was in the second quarter.
It felt like it was like their second drive of the game, whatever it was, that you just, you would not let them get off the field. Like,
yes.
Oh, it's third and long. I'm going to tackle a receiver that's not involved in the play at all. First down.
Sure. Yeah. There were at least three or four penalties on one of those drives that gifted Oklahoma State a touchdown. And that, so I would actually count that as they really had 20 points that they just gifted Oklahoma State. And of course, on the return of that, Oklahoma State just completely squandered their last possession before the end of the half. I don't know what they were doing.
They wasted.
They had all the timeouts. They basically just kneeled for like 3 minutes. They somehow just kneeled and left.
They ran off so much clock.
It was baffling.
I barely got to midfield.
If I was an OSU fan, I would be righteously pissed about this.
Okay, so before we get any further, guys, obviously the wait is over. Football's in full effect. Many teams starting their stuff. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at Bet Online. Had you taken any money on this game, gosh, that would have been a bad beat, as Scott Van Pelt says. Texas Tech +11. You lose by, what's it, 6?
Yep.
Would have been rough.
And then Oklahoma State kneeled with the chance to cover right at the last minute of the game.
That would have hurt. Bet Online is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props. Bet Online gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head to Bet Online today and use promo code Armchair to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
We ready to do the other ad too?
Yeah, man.
Roll it.
Yeah, support for 23 Personnel Podcast comes from Manscaped. Michael, you wanna give us your manscaping stories here?
Sure. Yeah, I have so many stories that I'm willing to share live, but I'm actually not going to this minute.
Manscaped is the best in men's below the belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision engineered tools for your family jewels. I remember when that line came out when we first brought on Manscaped. I could not say it. One, the precision engineered tools, tongue twister, family jewels cracked me up. I am, man, I'm so mature. Untrimmed pubes are a thing of the past, guys. It's time to gear up and get yourself the gift of shaving this holiday season. Of course, I'm talking about the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. That's why the revolutionary company Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. Lawnmower 3.0 has proprietary advanced skin safe technology. So this trimmer cuts on your nuts. It's also waterproof, so you can also use it in the shower. The Lawnmower 3.0 comes inside the brand new Perfect Package 3.0, which makes for the perfect gift this holiday season. It's literally everything you need to keep trimmed, cut-free, and smelling nice down there. Perfect Package comes with the Manscaped boxers, keep you fresh all day, and Crop Reviver, Crop Preserver, great products for down there. Usually, guys, if you take advantage of the promo code from Manscaped, you get 20% off and free shipping. But if you order on Monday, Cyber Monday, they're going to bump that up to 25% off.
Ooh, look out now.
Extra a little bit of a discount. Go to manscaped.com, use promo code armchair to get 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use code armchair, clean up your nuts, and make Santa proud this year.
Yeah, because this is really a concerning thing for Santa.
I can tell you, he is super concerned. Like, the naughty or nice list for adults, at least for the men, who manscapes, who doesn't.
Yeah, yeah, he keeps track of this. Very checks important it, for the claws.
Checks it twice.
Damn right.
He's there. Yeah, I don't want to get that too far. All right, Michael, I guess I can say at least we have Kansas left on the schedule.
Yeah.
You did better this week than like, if you look at the final score, you look at the stats, you feel like you did pretty good. You outperformed what you were expecting. The line was 11. The Fox Sports pregame host predicted you to lose by 24. So by all,
Where did that guy go?
I don't know. He said,
did he not know that? I mean, it didn't matter. It obviously did not matter that Hubbard was out, but did he not know Hubbard was out when he said that? Cause I thought that's just so bizarre to just boldly claim
Oklahoma
24
State by 24. Yeah. I mean, so if you look at that, if you look at the stats, all of them, not just total yards, not just rush, whatever, pass, you felt like you did better than expected. And I guess you can take some positive from that. But it's another one of those games where you lose. You felt like you at least had a chance to win this game. And there were just some mind-numbingly stupid coaching decisions. You're just like, why did you do that?
Yeah, this continues to happen. It even happens in wins, but we don't dwell on them as much because it was a win. But they're getting glaring, and if you follow me on Twitter, you know that I call it galaxy brain football, where it's just, oh, I know what I'll do with 7 minutes left in the third. I'll kick an onside kick, even though we're up three. You know, it's that type of crap that maybe makes sense if I don't know. You're hitting a bong with a friend playing Madden. That kind of makes sense. But in the real world, it doesn't always work out. But, you know, we're kind of where we thought we would be, which is not a good place to be. Three wins heading into Kansas. And that's where we are. That's where you and I predicted it this year. Kansas is currently losing 52-20. The fourth quarter still has 13 minutes left. So TCU is just definitely taking care of business in Lawrence. So Tech should do the same next week if everyone wants to keep their jobs. But anyway, it's kind of where we thought it would be. Doesn't make it fun. Doesn't make us happy to be right. But it does mean that friend of the show, Rob Bro,
is going to have to eat this.
the world's hottest gummy bear.
Little nitro.
We forgot to remind him of this today, but yeah, he's going to have to eat a little nitro because we had an over under of 4.5 wins on the season. And of course our galaxy brain cells took the under and he took the over. So today was his last chance.
Unless there's somehow Texas Tech ekes itself into a bowl game, and wins the bowl game. So I guess we should hold off until next week.
That's totally right. Because we did not specify whether it mattered. Yeah, I mean, that would count. If Tech gets into a bowl game and wins, that's five wins. That would totally count. You and I would be eating a little nitro.
So I'm not scared of a little nitro. I think you might be.
I'm a little scared. I'm a little scared of a little nitro. I might have to go the little ER. Or the I'm not sure.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you look at from this game to take as a positive away from. I don't know, you know, I mean, obviously there are plenty of negatives you can point to. I don't know if this performance helped or hurt either of the coordinators' job security.
I think it helped Yost a little bit,
which is
possibly
unfortunate, I think, because I think everybody wants him gone, except for Matt Wells. Because, you know, he probably decided week two, I'm going to extend Matt David Yost.
No matter what happens from here on out.
10 weeks later, I said I'd do it. I'll do it.
I'm still doing it. Stick it to my guns.
Still going to do it. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, Keith Patterson is probably at an all-time high in terms of fan support. You know, if you follow Rob Rose, approval rating tracker, Patterson is way outperforming any defensive coordinator you've had since Ruffin McNeil.
Until today, at least.
Until today, way outperforming Matt Wells and David Yost, even if you were to combine those two approval ratings. Today may take a hit. I think Rob Rose said, I mean, you did well defensively. I don't think you did. You gave up 50 points. You gave up 235 yards to a third string running back. You couldn't get a stop when you needed one. You forced a couple turnovers, but dang. Defensively. I mean, the other thing is, like, looking at the game, there were times where I was frustrated with the defense, but it wasn't like the defense cost us the game. This felt wholly on just Matt Wells and the offense.
Yeah, which is so bizarre to score 44 points and still think that wasn't enough and to allow 50 and think, well, that could have been worse. So yeah, we're broken as fans. We're just completely broken. We don't know how to operate anymore. We don't know what a good football team looks like. We've never seen everything operating on all cylinders and have no idea what to expect.
Do you know what a good basketball team looks like? Those first two games have been a lot of fun.
Yes, now, because that was the last thing I was going to mention, but you beat me to it. Was if you're listening to this, odds are it's Sunday, November 29th, and Texas Tech plays Houston at 4:30 on ESPN. So check it out. Should be a really good game. Houston's a legit team. Very excited to see Tech play some legit competition after just completely steamrolling Northwestern State and Sam Houston State to open the season.
Yeah, a couple of really bad teams. But you did what you were supposed to do, which I think in previous years you were like, well, you beat the bad team, but I think there are plenty of holes to work on. I mean, yeah, there are some places to improve on. But you look better doing what you did to these two teams than I think you have to start any season under Beard so far. Mac McClung, game one, looks like the real deal. Marcos Santosilva, again, looks like everything you needed. Like, he had a double-double in 19 minutes in game one. He was one rebound away from doing it again in game two.
He's 245 pounds, and that seems, but he uses it like he's 280. Yeah, he's just impressive. He is manhandling people in the lane. Now, that may not go the same way against Houston or once Tech starts playing some higher caliber opponents, but my gosh, he was, if he wanted the ball, if he wanted to get open, he got open. If he wanted the rebound, he got the rebound. It was, yeah. He's an impressive player.
Micah Peavy announced himself, man, to Tech fans in game one. He's like, I'm here for you guys.
Yeah, Damaris, he started Burton, because McCullough was hurt, and yeah. I mean, he just, it's going to be hard for McCullough to earn his spot back probably at this point.
Damaris Burton looked really good. Joel and Tomboy, I think, had a little bit of a slow start and then just ignited, you know, off the bench. He looked really good. Kyler Edwards.
I love Tyreek Smith coming off the bench too.
Tyreek Smith looks really good.
Gosh, he's just, he's got so much athleticism and just the potential to do some jaw dropping stuff on rebounds or posterizing. I mean, I wasn't for sure exactly what to expect with him. And all of these guys have been really surprising. And you were talking about Edwards. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying Edwards too. Like, you look around, it's like, I don't
Shannon
feel like, yeah, we haven't gotten to Shannon yet. I don't feel like there's a guy on the roster who'd be like, man, it kind of feels like he's going to hold a roster spot. When Chibuzo Agbo got in, you're like, he comes in and strokes a three. Like, that was a beautiful shot. Like, this big dude, true freshman, has a great looking shot. And he may get the least minutes of anybody that's playing, of the 12 guys that are playing right now with Vladislav Goldin and McCullers injured. You know, your rotation's only to 12. Like, he may get the fewest minutes, but dang, he looks so good. Avery Benson came out, and I think within a minute of him coming on the court, he was on the court. He's on the floor doing what he does.
Yeah.
His look, his appearance is stupid. I hate it. But
I don't hate it, but I hate that that's all people talk about. Not so much us, obviously. Not us. That's not who I mean. But
terrific effort.
Even on the ESPNU broadcast was just such crap for game two against Sam Houston State. Oh, it was awful. And so I figured out how to sync up the 97.3 broadcast with Jeff Haxton. And even Haxton was talking about his tattoos and everything. And you're like, come on, guys. Let's just – this is what Benson looks like. Let's – we got it. We know he's going for the Wyatt Earp thing or whatever.
Long hair, mustache.
Yeah. And everyone says Doc Holliday, but that's not right because Earp, because
of course you know.
Kurt Russell in that movie, he had the more of the handlebar kind of looking, not even a handlebar, but he just had the more commanding mustache. Val Kilmer's was kind of like a gentleman's mustache, but Kurt Russell's meant business, man. He had the peacemaker mustache. Yeah. So that's what Benson has. And here I am talking about his appearance again. But anyway, maybe they'll get over that after four or five games.
Speaking of appearance, big fan of the new court. I think it looks really – it displays really well. I think the only thing that I've heard negative is on the broadcast when it swings, like it's looking at the half court from the perspective of the camera looking down at the backboard, because the court is so light, you can't see the backboard or the net so well, especially the net. Hmm. It's difficult to see if a shot goes in or if it just hits the net on both sides. So it's like, just put like a black mat on the floor, you know, back there where the players are sitting in line. So it's like in line with the camera through the net to the court. So it's not like in the way of anybody running through it or anything. Darken up the floor, put some contrast there, see the net. But outside of that, I think it looks great.
My only issue was the baseline. I don't like the red text in the middle of a black baseline. It needs to be outlined.
And
you can't see at all what it says. It just kind of blurs on TV. And I was a little worried about this court looking like a synthetic bowling alley, but it really doesn't. It looks pretty good.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, whatever. We talked about it last week. I missed the stain and the Texas in the middle, but I'm not going to cry about it. It's fine. But yeah, I do kind of think they should outline the text on the baseline. That's probably my only quote unquote issue with it. And here we are. Tech has just lost their sixth game of the year. And we're talking basketball for the last 15 minutes of an instant reaction. I'm fine with it. Y'all probably are fine with it too, if you're listening still.
Because we gotta start transitioning instant reactions from football to basketball. Cause we won't do an instant reaction for every basketball game. We'll be doing like three episodes a week, if not more. Probably still do one a week, but for multiple games. So it won't be instant reaction, but we'll do like a review, of the week's games. Anyways, we had to get you the first week because it's been a lot of fun. As much as we were anticipating the start of the basketball season, I think they look better than I would have expected in games one and two against really crappy opponents. Understood. Competition ramps way up tomorrow, Sunday, but you're expected to win this game. Neutral site. Houston's going to be a good test. Help you continue to identify where places to improve upon. And get you ready for conference play, which is like 2 weeks away. I think Kansas is one of your first games. So you got to clean all that stuff up that you need to. Anyways.
Yeah, it's been impressive to watch. I did not expect Tech to score 80 plus in the first game. I think I even said that exact thing on our podcast last week. Like, there's no way Tech. I don't think they'll get. Yeah. And they just, you know, 101 or whatever it was. And while we were talking, TCU scored again. So they're up 59-20 with 9 minutes left in the fourth against Kansas.
Good times.
back to football. Sorry.
Yep. All right. So Texas Tech loses on the road 44-50. Offense was good and bad. Defense was good and bad. Coaching was bad.
This should have been the instant reaction.
That should have been it. Like 45 minutes ago, we could have wrapped it up to get you.
Yeah, I could have just said hello, and then you could have just said, "All right, well, thanks for listening."
Thanks for listening. Yeah. So for Michael, I'm Spencer. We will catch you next week on the Kansas preview. Until then, guns up.
Thank you for listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast and sharing our fandom for the Texas Tech Red Raiders. You can connect with us on Twitter at 23personnel, Spencer at PuntSuck, and Michael at Michael_LBK. And find even more great content over on stakingtheplains.com. Help us out by rating the show and leaving a review on iTunes and subscribe on whatever channel you listen to podcasts. Remember to tell your friends about the show. The guys will be back next week with another episode. And until then, guns up and let the tortillas fly.